at about 64 points. Oil prices also sinking today. They're now down below 70 bucks a barrel. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News Radio.
Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this Thursday edition of the Knowing the Truth radio program. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and we're going to be talking about an interesting subject today, and that subject is the ESV Study Bible. Now, I'm sure you've heard a number of things about this already. I've heard people talking about it in a number of different areas, be on blogs, sometimes at conferences, just talking to friends that are interested, of course, in some of the latest study helps, pastor friends. Well, yesterday was certainly an exciting day for Crossway Books because it marked the official publication date of the ESV Studied Bible. And this project that Crossway Books has launched is just gigantic effort. It involved a 12-member translation oversight committee, and that was led by Dr. J.I. Packer, who's been on the broadcast with me before. He was acted as the general editor for that committee. And then they also had 60 leading Bible scholars, part of an advisory board or council that they had. And all of these were committed to historic Christian orthodoxy and the timeless truths and authority of God's Word. And so just a huge project to pull this all together. I was out looking at their website yesterday and read about the goal and the vision for the ESV Study Bible. And they said, obviously, first and foremost, it is to honor the Lord. But then they laid out a couple different ways that they're hoping to do that. One is to honor the Lord in terms of the excellence and the beauty and the accuracy and the content of the content and its design. And then the second was to honor the Lord in terms of helping people to come to a deeper understanding of the Bible, the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and Him personally as their Lord and Savior. So Crossway has launched this tremendous effort. And by the way, Crossway is actually a not-for-profit publishing ministry. And so all of the receipts that come in from the ESV Study Bible will go directly towards the support of that ministry. They do a lot of good work. They publish a lot of books from a lot of very good writers, very good authors, very, very orthodox in their approach, and yet not a cold orthodoxy at all, not a just for academic purposes, but orthodoxy with heart behind it. And so I find a lot of their materials to be very, very helpful. Well, with me on the program today, in order to talk about the ESV Study Bible and about all of the different aspects of it and what this means to Crossway, is Justin Taylor. And Justin is the Study Bible Project Director and Associate Publisher at Crossway. He also contributes to several different books, including A God Entranced Vision of All Things and Reclaiming the Center. He is also the site manager for a couple well-known websites. The first is www.johnowen.org, and so all things Owen can be found out there. We've talked to him about that before. And then also, probably most people know him from being the site manager for Between Two Worlds, or as the actual URL is, it's www.theologica.blogspot.com. That's theologica.blogspot.com. And out there, Justin just posts a number of different articles and events and just all kinds of things that are very, very helpful to the Christian community. So with that, Justin, welcome into the Knowing the Truth radio program today.
Thank you, Kevin. It's always good to be with you.
Justin, you're a very busy person. I'm doing all of those different things there, writing and being the project manager. I hope a project director for the study Bibles there at Crossway. You show up at a number of conferences. Sometimes I think you're doing some live blogging from some of these conferences. You have a very good time management system, apparently.
Well, I actually feel like that's one of my weaknesses, is trying to manage all the various things in my life. But God's given me just a few things to do and try to do them well. Mm. Well, thanks for the encouragement.
Yeah, enjoyed seeing you there in person. I guess, what were you at, the NRB or?
Yeah, ICRS, I think.
ICRS, July. That's right. That's yep. right. And you were tasked with... what's the right word here? Chauffeuring around Dr. J.I. Packer, I believe, right?
Right, being his bodyguard for a couple of days. Yeah, they give me all the difficult tasks.
Yeah. I bet you had some very interesting conversations there, huh?
Oh, we did. I think he turned 82 this summer. And just the wealth of wisdom and a man saturated with the Bible. And I feel like every time I have the wonderful privilege of spending any time with him at all, I just walk away encouraged in my faith and wanting to know Christ more. So what a great privilege to...
You know what struck me about him? Oops, sorry for interrupting. You know what struck me about him as well is, although he has this tremendous legacy and although, you know, he's been just a wonderful help to the evangelical church with the number of books that he's written, he's extremely humble, isn't he?
He is, yeah. I think about John Newton's famous sentence that, yeah, he knows he's a great sinner and that he has a great Savior. And, a warm and gentle man who really loves God and wants God's people to love God and doesn't think about himself that much, that wouldn't stand out on the street or isn't flashy or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Just a faithful, insightful, creative plotter, faithful to the Word and faithful to the church.
Mm-hmm. I was very pleasantly surprised in meeting him there about the way that he carries himself and conducts himself and the way he was just so gracious. So very just really appreciated the privilege of getting to meet him in person and, of course, having him on the program as well. So. Justin, I want to talk to you, of course, about the ESV Study Bible. In the press release that I received, it talked about the idea of going to the publication date, you know, being yesterday, October 15th. But I'm unclear as to, was this the first release or is this the second release? I know that 100,000 were printed in the first and 50,000 now in the second, but I was just unsure about when it was actually gone to market.
Yeah, yesterday was the official first publication date. So if anybody ordered it, probably yesterday was the day that they received it. And that's the first print run. So that was 100,000 copies that we printed for that run. And now because of the overwhelming response, we've had to go back for the second and third printings. But those haven't been distributed yet.
Well, I would think with the idea of 100,000 in the first printing that you folks at Crossway are very, very happy about the response that you're receiving from the Christian community.
Yeah, we've just been very, very encouraged and very thankful to the Lord. You know, a lot of hours laboring day after day when nobody really knew this thing existed, and we were excited about the various things that were going to be in it, but really couldn't talk about it very much. So now for all the editorial work to be done, and the guy is now in the warehouse doing the hard work and working long hours of shipping it out to everybody. Yeah, we really do give God all of the glory and praise for what's happening here. We hope it's going to be something that will serve the church and will encourage people in their Bible reading and help them to know more about God and His revelation.
I saw in the press release that the folks over there at Westminster Bookstore, Mark, I can't remember his last name offhand.
Yeah, Scott Fagan.
But he was just saying that it broke records for their sales of a new study Bible and mentioned in there that it was the fastest selling new product in the history of their store at Westminster. That's saying quite a lot.
Yeah, they really hadn't ever seen any sort of response like that. And it sounds like the other stores are reporting, you know, a lot of sales and enthusiasm about it. So, again, we're very grateful for that.
Well, we've got to take a very quick commercial break, but when we come back, I'm hoping we can start delving down into some of the aspects of what makes this particular publication, what makes this particular study Bible just stand out from other study Bibles that are out there. All of these different features that you guys have built into this one, I hope we can go through and just systematically look at some of these features that are there. I want you to stay tuned with us. If you have any questions about the ESV Study Bible, about study Bibles in general, this will be the time for you to ask. I'll give you the numbers as soon as we come back from the break.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Set your alarm clock for Christian Worldview today.
Now we're talking about being old-fashioned about eternal truth, which is unchanging. But if they're talking about Christians are old-fashioned because I walked into church and they, you know, refuse to acknowledge that there's been any technology discovered in the last 25 years when it comes to ways of communication, and we're not going to use that stuff because it's evil.
Christian Worldview Today with Dr. Tony Beam, weekday mornings at 7 on Christian Talk 660.
Jim Daly and author Rob Parsons.
Rob, have you and your wife Diane ever cried for a prodigal?
We've got two children, Jim, Katie and Lloyd, and they're both grown now. And you know, when they're small, you think, it's going to be fine. If I read all the books and go to all the seminars, they'll turn out fine. And I remember when Kate was about 18 and Lloyd about 15, being at a Bringing Home the Prodigals event that somebody else had run in the United Kingdom. They eventually handed on that baton to us. And I remember laying Katie's name at the foot of the cross, and Lloyd's name at the foot of the cross, and crying, and thinking, this is not how I thought life would be. I thought I could sort it all out for my kids, and I remember bringing them to God and laying them at the foot of the cross, and over the coming years, watching as God moved in their lives. So yes, Jim, we have cried. But we've seen the most incredible answers to prayer, and in some way, I'm almost glad I cried, because I have a heart for the parent with a broken heart.
Bringing Home the Prodigals is coming to the Carolinas. Visit prodigalevents.com.
Here's another academic tip from Dr. Everett of Strides Nonprofit Tutoring.
The easiest way to teach math is money. In this day of credit cards, too few children handle real money. To teach your child the basics of adding and subtracting, just give a few coins at the checkout counter and say, "Buy me some gum, please." Our website is www.stridestutor.org or call 246-9898.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the second segment of the Knowing the Truth radio program today. Let me give you a heads up on a couple things that are coming up. One, we were talking about J.I. Packer just a few minutes ago, Dr. J.I. Packer. Well, he was with me on the broadcast, and you can go out and listen to that out on our website at www.knowingthetruth.org if you'd like to listen to that interview. It's just a wonderful conversation with Dr. Packer. But also, Dr. Jerry Bridges has been with me as well, and he's going to be with me again towards the end of the month on the 28th, and so you got that to look forward to. He's got a new book out called Respectable Sins, and we'll be talking about that new book on the broadcast. Also, on October 31st, Reformation Day, that's a Friday, and on Reformation Day, we'll be hosting the next installment, or the October version of the Pastors Fellowship of Greater Greenville. We'll be hosting that down at Second Presbyterian Church in downtown Greenville. The pastor of the church there is Richard Phillips, and you may know that name. He's a well-known author. He is, the last time he was on the broadcast here with me, we were talking about Together for Adoption. But the time previous to that, we were talking about his book, what's so great about the doctrines of grace. And so he's going to be speaking about the Reformation, and is the Reformation still relevant? That's going to be his topic at the Pastors Fellowship. It's only $10 to attend, and we're going to go ahead and give each person that attends, and that those folks that are eligible to attend are pastors and elders and deacons and ministry leaders. It's open to all of those. You're eligible to come. It's only $10 to attend. And when you attend, we're going to give each person that attends a copy of that book, What's So Great About the Doctrines of Grace by Richard Phillips. So you don't want to miss it. If you want to register, you can just go out to the website, www.knowingthetruth.org. Look under the events section there if you just scroll down a little bit, and you can register right there online. With that, let's go back to our discussion with Justin Taylor about the ESV Study Bible. Justin, just before the break, I was saying let's try to delve down a little bit and tell folks about what's in this study Bible. What are some of the features that are there? What would you say, being part of this project, what's the feature that you guys have that you find either most helpful or something that you think is most unique to the ESV Study Bible?
Yeah, that's a good question, Kevin, because there's a lot of different features I think I could choose here. Maybe I'll mention just a couple of them. I think the most unique thing that readers are going to be surprised about, you don't know what's in it already, is the combination of the color maps and the color illustrations. When we were in the beginning of the process and trying to determine how is this going to be different, why should we even do a study Bible? There's a lot of great study Bibles already out there, but most of them have just the color maps in the back, you know, in the glossy paper, or a few of them have black and white maps scattered throughout. But we thought, wouldn't it be great if we could come up with the very best maps, which, you know, even if maps are 5 years old, sometimes they're out of date because of what NASA's been able to capture with their shuttle topography. So we took the latest NASA-generated images of the Earth and consulted with the world's leading geographical archaeological experts to try to come up with the most accurate maps we could find. And then we made them full color and put about 200 of them throughout the Bible. So if you're reading in Genesis, or if you're reading in Exodus or Ruth or Matthew or Luke or Galatians, you can see right there where the different events are taking place, or where the battles are taking place, and some of the historical books. So we think that will be helpful. I mean, as a Bible reader myself, we just don't know that geography. It's not something that we're, most of us are intimately familiar with, so we think that'll be a helpful feature.
And you noticed that those NASA-developed satellite maps that are there are printed right alongside the text. And
right.
So it's not like you see something and you think, well, I've got to go and look this up, and, you know, you kind of stop where you're at there and you go to the back of your Bible typically to see, oh, I wonder how far this is from Jerusalem or something. And
right.
So you want to know
back and forth.
Yeah, but it's going to be right there in the text.
That's right. And it's amazing, the idea of doing full color with these maps. It's amazing the difference that makes of viewing a color map where you can see the different regions and the countries and, you know, the routes where Paul went on his missionary journeys. Having those in color is not just kind of window dressing, but really helps, I think, to see and understand the geography of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then the illustrations that we were able to put together, it's a combination of city plans and illustrations of cities, illustrations of the temple. We're really just thrilled that the people that we were able to have help us with that. I think it makes the ESV Study Bible probably the most comprehensive resource now if you want to have the best scholarship on what the temple looked like. I try to take you right inside the temple and show you what, frankly, most Israelites would have never seen, what it looks like to look inside the Holy of Holies, and what the Ark of the Covenant might look like, and what it looks like to see the tabernacle tent set up in the wilderness, and what it looked like to be in the temple in Jesus' time, and what the whole Temple Mount looked like. Those sort of things, what the what Jesus' tomb would have looked like based upon study of first century tombs. Mm. It's really a unique feature that, for me, looking at this and then reading the text has made lights go on and be able to see sometimes the biblical text in a whole new way, to experience it as much as we can, like the early authors would have experienced it and audience.
Hmm. You know, you mentioned all about these illustrations, and let me just read off a couple of those that, according to the information I have here in my hand, it says, including full-color renderings and architectural diagrams of the Tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant, Solomon's Temple, Herod's Temple, the city of Jerusalem in Jesus' time, and throughout the history of Israel, and many more. It also mentions here that there are 20,000 notes. Focusing especially on understanding the Bible text and providing answers to frequently raised issues. The question that comes to my mind when I hear of the notes being in this as well is, whose notes are those? Who put the note together that is helping to understand that particular Bible text?
Yeah, what we did was try to find, for each book of the Bible, the best scholar that we could find that we knew was an evangelical who had a high commitment to a high view of Scripture and high commitment to it, but also had the ability to communicate to the person in the pew and loved God's people. And at the end of the day, we ended up with 95 different contributors, really from around the world, some from Australia, some from Japan, some from Canada, most from the United States, some from England or Scotland. So we tried to find the best person we could in the world, and then each person was assigned, for the most part, each was assigned one book, mm-hmm. That they're an expert in, that they teach on and taught on and written on. And then there was a whole, it was a complicated editorial process, but they basically wrote those notes and then submitted that to the editorial committee, who then revised the notes and end process then is what you have here. So there's a list in the study Bible for each book. You can see who worked on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the 50 articles or so in the back, and those also were written by scholars who were experts in those various areas.
Mm. I don't know if we mentioned it already, but the idea of the introductions to each one of the books looks pretty extensive. So, for instance, you know, an introduction to the Psalms or to Isaiah or Jonah, those types of things, you know, it gives you a very good understanding before you read the first statement, the first verse in that book. You have a good overview of, you know, where this took place and what was the culture like at that time, what was the situation that was facing the prophet writing the book or the, you know, the apostle in the New Testament. And so, you know, I think those introductions will be extremely helpful to people as well.
I think that's right. I think that's probably one of the more helpful features, especially for biblical study, to go there, say with 1st and 2nd Chronicles, you know, not on everybody's high list of the most their favorite books, but there you can see in the introduction who wrote this, when was it written, what was the purpose for writing it, what are some of the key themes. There's a detailed, extensive outline of the whole book. I think that we can easily, especially in the Old Testament, get lost in the details and lose sight of the big picture. And so we're always trying to help people in the introduction see the book as a whole. And then one of the features within there is a history of salvation summary. So it's not just helping you see the book as a whole, say the book of Joshua, but also seeing how Joshua fits into the whole biblical storyline. Mm. Then also Vern Poitras at Westminster Theological Seminary in Philadelphia wrote for us History of Salvation notes, which are collected in the back. So as you work through, say, Genesis or Exodus, you can follow along with his specialty notes that show you how these different events, how these people and institutions and festivals and all those sort of things are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So that's another area where reading the Old Testament, and you can get bogged down in names and dates and details and genealogies and lose sight of how it points forward to Jesus and how the Old Testament is ultimately fulfilled in Jesus. So that's another one of the features.
I think that's extremely helpful. You know, we're trying to tell the story of redemption, of course, throughout the Word of God, and the Word of God does that. But like you say, if we're not careful, we can very easily be distracted by some of the detail there and lose the sight of the big picture of the story of redemption all the way from Genesis all the way through to Revelation. We'll talk more about that when we come back from the break. I want to encourage the listeners, if you have a question for Justin today, 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
Want to engage the culture for Christ? Listen to Calling for Truth from 1 to 2 each Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on Christian Talk 660. Also, join Southeastern Seminary in Wake Forest, North Carolina, November 7th through 8th for a profound conference, Francis Schaeffer, A Mind and Heart for God, Engaging the Culture for Christ. Sponsored by the L. Rush Bush Center for Faith and Culture of Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. Schaeffer opened the door to regaining the lordship of Christ over the whole of life and culture. Come hear those who knew Schaeffer best. For more info, log on to callingfortruth.org.
Here's another academic tip from Dr. Everett of Strides Nonprofit Tutoring.
We all spend too much time in the car, right? How about making the back seat a quick study hall? Jason, what's the capital of Utah? Kyla, what's 6 times 9? A few minutes here and there really add up, and short reviews are actually better than hours of study. Our website is www.stridestutor.org or call 246-9898.
Hey, Ruth, what's going on?
Hey, how you been?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm okay. You know, with a gas crisis and everything, I just filled up the tank of my car, and I spent almost my whole rent for this month.
Yeah, I know. Those gas prices are just outrageous. But you know what? I heard about CDBs. Not only do they have great pizza, but if you bring your gas receipt in, you get $1 off.
Oh, that's great.
So you can take your whole family, have a great night, and still have some money left for gas money.
Oh, that's great.
It's great pizza for a great price. So pack up the family and head over to Speedy B's near Walmart on Woodruff Road in Greenville. And don't forget to bring your gas receipt for $1 off the already amazing low price. At Speedy B's, you'll find friendly faces and at least a dozen pizzas out at all times. Or you can order a pizza and they'll make it fresh just for you at no extra cost. So visit Speedy B's today.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the second half of the Knowing the Truth radio program. Today, we're talking about the ESV Study Bible. Just went to publication, we should say. Yesterday, October 15th, was the first day that those that had pre-ordered their ESV Study Bible were probably starting to receive them. And so I thought it'd be interesting to talk about what this Bible is all about. I was watching one of the news programs the other day and reading some of the stuff that they had online, and I noticed that a new Bible was coming out, and the new Bible in this case was a green Bible. And in the green Bible, rather than having the red letters where the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking, as you're familiar with a red letter edition, this one highlighted in green all of the verses that had something to do with the ecology, you know, with the being green and in the environment, this type of thing. And so I just thought, personally, I thought it was completely ridiculous. And, you just get stuff like that periodically. Of course, they have all different kinds of Bibles now. There's a Clemson Bible. You know, there's a USC Bible. There's a Army Bible. There's a Navy Bible. I mean, just unbelievable about the niche that some of these try to fulfill. Well, I was very pleased to see this particular one, the ESV Study Bible, because it doesn't go after those far-fetched niche that people are trying to fill. But here is something that gets us back to the original idea, of studying the Word of God, you know, of having the Word of God central in our lives, of being filled with God's Word, of memorizing God's Word, studying God's Word so that we can apply it to our life and then being able to live it out in our life as well. That's extremely important, and that is the Christian life. That's how we progress in our sanctification, is by understanding and applying and living out the Word of God. Book of Colossians talks a lot about that, about us being filled with this knowledge of God, the knowledge that we find in His Word, the self-revelation of God, about being filled with that so that we can live lives that are different from the world round about us. Well, this study Bible is helping to do that. It's helping believers, pastors, elders, deacons, people in the church, just the lay people, helping them to study the Bible and understand what God was saying to us, is saying to us in His Word, so that we can live our lives to the glory of God. We're talking with Justin Taylor. Justin has been part of this project at Crossway Books. And Justin, you were mentioning that this has just come out. You have a number of endorsements that are out there on the website. Here's one from Albert Moeller, who was on the program with us for a special 9/11 edition program that we did about terror and all that terror teaches. But Dr. Moeller says this about the ESV Study Bible. He says, outstanding. The ESV Study Bible is a treasure, a beautiful volume filled with a wealth of resources. It will be just as useful for the seminarian and longtime pastor as it will be accessible to the brand new Christian. Well, that's quite an endorsement there from him. And from one end of the spectrum in the Christian life to the other end of the spectrum, it seems to be helpful for anybody that fits into those categories. Is that what you guys obviously were trying to target in putting this together?
Yeah, we really hope that a whole wide range of people, you know, it wasn't just written for men, it wasn't just written for women, it wasn't just written for a certain segment of evangelicalism. That's been one of the encouraging things as we've listened to people get excited about it. It just seems like a broad spectrum of believers are latching onto this, and even heard a story the other day about a man who had an evangelistic Bible study group who brought all of the guys in his group into a bookstore, and they were all purchasing a study Bible. You know, it's really designed, I think, if you had a target audience, it's serious adult Christian believers. But that's not to say that we don't hope that unbelievers will look at it, or that new believers, but the design is really for it to help people understand the Bible in a deeper way. And so that motivated all that we were trying to do.
You know, we talked about some of the notes that are there, the 20,000 notes. We talked about the 200 full-color maps. And what about the articles that are included in this as well? Over 50 articles on biblical authority, on reliability, on archaeology, theology, ethics, personal application, all of these things. Tell us a little bit more about what people would find there.
Sure. Maybe I can just run through and give you an overview of what those articles are. The first, Mark Dever, who's pastor at Capitol Hill Baptist Church,
mm-hmm.
In Washington, D.C., wrote the plan of salvation, God's plan of salvation, which gives a gospel overview, which we hope, you know, if unbelievers were to pick up this Bible, that they would read that, or that if believers were to read it, it would help equip them in a more powerful way to share the full story of God's glory and His work in salvation. And it's followed by about 13 to 15 articles on theology, biblical doctrine. Just a couple of pages each on what it means to know God, or what God's character is, or what the Trinity is, or who the Holy Spirit is, or what sin is, or what does the Bible teach about the church. And that can gather together in a topical way, teaching on some of these important issues. And then we also have one on biblical ethics, where there's, again, about 13 different essays, one on abortion, one on homosexuality, one on war, one on stewardship, one on capital punishment. Just trying to gather again in one place what the whole Bible teaches on these various topics.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just work through different things like interpreting Scripture. How do you interpret it? How do you read the Bible for personal application. What about the reliability of the Bible, the biblical manuscripts? What languages were they originally written in? A lot of people don't really understand original Hebrew or original Greek, and this tries to just present an overview for them. Or how the different books of the Bible came to be included in the canon, those sorts of things. And then we move on to something that a lot of study Bibles don't cover, but we just think is important in this day and age, and that's world religions. We have an overview article on the various major world religions, and then one specifically devoted to Islam.
Mm.
And then we also cover cults and different expressions of Christianity. So in the cults one, there's Mormonism and Jehovah's Witnesses and Christian Science and then the New Age movement. Just trying to give, again, an overview to help people understand what do these folks teach, what do they believe, and how does that stack up to the biblical witness.
Hmm. One of the statements says this, created by an outstanding team of 95 evangelical Christian scholars and teachers, the ESV Study Bible presents completely new study notes, maps, illustrations, charts, timelines, articles, and introductions. Although the ESV Study Bible comprises 2 million words of Bible text, insightful explanation, teaching, and reference material, equivalent to a 20-volume Bible resource library, all contained in one volume. And so that's the idea, right? I mean, carrying this around, you've got all of these resources, but you have it all in one location so that you can study the Word with just having the one volume in your hand.
That's exactly right. And Kevin, if people were to go into your study or into mine, then we just, both of us have commentaries and historical books and theological works, and you know, the shelves are just lined with that.
Mm-hmm.
Most people don't have that. And they, even if they were to go to a theological library, they wouldn't necessarily know where to look. And so for both people like you and me who might already have a number of books and a number of commentaries, or people, more importantly, who don't have access to either of that, by putting this this resource library in a real sense in between two covers, we hope that it's going to be kind of a seminary in a box for people who haven't been able to go to seminary. And you know, it's not comprehensive in the sense that it can teach you everything there is to teach, because that just can never be done. You know, we'll never stop learning more about God and His Word and who He is and the immense power and glory and greatness of God. But we want to help Bible readers as much as possible understand what the original authors meant and the importance of putting the whole Bible together theologically and as the biblical storyline.
Hmm. You know, Justin, we have a young lady in our church who's actually in the military, and she was on base and was going to go to a to church on Sunday morning, and so she had invited somebody there from the base to go with her, and so she grabbed her Bible, and the other person picked her up, took her to a church that, if I mentioned the pastor's name, everybody here would know who that pastor is. They would know that name. And so when she got in the car, you know, the person said, oh, what do you have there? And she said, well, I have my Bible. And the person, who was not a believer, said, well, what are you bringing that for? You know, they're going to church. And she said, well, everybody, you know, all the believers bring their Bible with them to church. And so she felt pretty confident that when she got there, you know, she would be able to prove this. Well, they get into the service, and she looks around, and nobody else has their Bible. And the reason that they don't, this was something that I had never thought about with overheads, you know, and LCD projectors and these types of things, but the Bible verse is listed up there on the overhead, and so nobody was bringing their Bible. Remember, years ago, you could look down a pew, you know, some of these long pews in some of the larger churches, and you would just see everybody in the pew with their Bible on their lap, you know, looking through their Bible and comparing, like it says in Acts chapter 17 about the Bereans, the faithful Bereans, making sure that the things that Paul said were so, you know, that they actually were found in the Word of God. But that's been lost today, and not that I'm against the technology per se. Tony Beam was just doing a commercial about that a minute ago, but not that I'm against the technology, but Have you ever thought about this with the way the church is being conducted today, that it's actually almost encouraging people not to have their Bible with them while they're there at church?
Yeah, you know, I hadn't given a whole lot of thought to that, but what you say, Kevin, makes a lot of sense. I mean, I have an image in my mind of being at Bethlehem Baptist Church, and, you know, as the person or the pastor reads the scripture passage, just there's this glorious sound of kind of a pause as there's papers ruffling as people are flipping to the appropriate page. And
good point.
To have that sound muted, it is a tragic thing. And I'm with you. There's no sin, per se, in putting words up on a screen. But don't we want people to be feeling and touching and looking and and turning in their Bible to just have that familiarity? I mean, the crying need in our culture is not to have more technology. Most of us are doing just fine, have enough of those things, have enough screens and that sort of thing in our life. We need to be in the Word even more. So I think it's a great practice to recover.
You know, my wife, she knows the Word of God very well, and she buys the same type of Bible when she wears one out. Mm. And the reason is she can tell you where it is on the page.
Yep.
So she'll say, well, yeah, I know where that verse is. It's on the right-hand side, you know, about a quarter of the way down the page. And so she says, if I have my Bible here, I can find it. And I think that just shows a familiarity with the Word of God. When we come back, though, just to prove that we're not anti-technology, we're going to talk about the online version of the ESV.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
From Woodruff Road Presbyterian Church, here's Pastor Carl Robbins.
Just as the usual and continuous behavior of our enemies is to keep on mistreating, so the usual and continuous behavior of the believer towards these people is to be doing them good, blessing them with our speech, and praying for them.
Join Carl Robbins for the Presbyterian Pulpit, Sundays at 12 noon, here on Christian Talk 660.
Jim Daly and Care for the Family President, Rob Parsons.
Rob, I'm the father of two boys, 6 and 8, and sometimes in their behavior I wince and think, he could be that prodigal. Is this event something that I should come to?
You know, Jim, I think the most poignant parts of this event is when my wife, Diane, speaks briefly and asks people to pray for their children. She says, pray for them when they're in the womb. Pray for them when they're toddlers. You know, Jim, I remember when mine was small, I used to think, if I read all the books and go to all the seminars, life's going to be fine. But as those children grow, those two lovely boys, you will realize you don't have very much control. And the day will surely come, even though you are present to focus on the family, when one of them, at least one, will make you cry. Come to this event. Learn a few lessons that will make it harder for them to become prodigals. And if they do, easier for them to come back to you and Jean and to God. I would encourage every parent not to miss bringing home the prodigals.
Coming to the Carolinas, November 13th, 14th, and 15th. Visit prodigalevents.com.
Up to 2 million Americans suffer from deep vein thrombosis each year. Many may look like the model of good health, but looks can be deceiving. While you may not see it, DVT is a blood clot usually found in your lower limbs. If the clot breaks loose and travels to your lungs, it may cause death. Each year, approximately 300,000 Americans die from DVT-related complications. My husband David was one of them. This is Melanie Bloom asking you to visit PreventDVT.org. Talk to your doctor. Learn the facts and risks.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Last segment of the Knowing the Truth radio program. That means that you have about 8 to 10 minutes or so if you'd like to ask a question about the ESV Study Bible. Justin Taylor is the one to pose that question to. He has worked on this project and has done a tremendous amount of work on it. Also kind of being one of the spokespersons for it as well and coming out and speaking to people. He is actually, his actual title is the Project Director and Managing Editor there at Crossway Books. He's an associate publisher for Crossway Books and Bibles as well, and so he does that. He also does a very well-known, I always think about it, Justin, from the URL, just, I guess, from being an IT guy, but a lot of people probably know it from the actual name of the broadcast of the blog, which being Between Two Worlds, which I think that's a statement, of course, from Edwards. Is that correct?
Edwards may have said it, but the original impetus was John Stott's book, Between Two Worlds.
Okay.
I was trying to come up with the blog name. I just happened to look over on my shelf. The book Between Two Worlds was right there, and I thought it seemed appropriate.
Been going with it ever since. Huh?
Right.
Now, I type in, like I was saying, the URL, theological.blogspot.com. Is that the best way for people to get to it?
I think so. Yeah, or just go to Google and do Between Two Worlds if... It's probably one of the more confusing URLs to say. So.
Yeah, right. And obviously, we certainly appreciate everything that you've done out there on that website, you know, just covering a number of different subjects between yourself and, of course, Tim Challies and a few others out there in the blogosphere. Those are the go-to sites to find out what's happening in the evangelical world. And so you guys have done a great service for the church. And so I thank you for all the work that you do there.
Well, thanks for your encouragement. I appreciate that.
Let's talk a little bit about the idea of the online part of the ESV Study Bible. We were saying before the break, we were bemoaning some of the ramifications of technology in the church today, i.e., people may not be as familiar with their Bible as they should be. I know when a preacher is preaching, I'm not only looking at the text he's preaching at, but I look at something and I say, oh, I wonder how that compares with this, and I go look at another text, and so I use it that way quite a bit during the preaching time. But so we talked about the fact of bemoaning the fact that people aren't doing that as much as they should, and we recommend that they should be using their Bible during their morning worship service. But that doesn't mean that we're anti-technology, and we believe in using the tools that God has provided to us. And one of the things here is the tools that you have provided along with the ESV Study Bible. Explain a few of those, if you could, please.
Sure. Yeah, we don't intend the online part to be a replacement of the Bible itself, but really a supplement. So if anybody purchases or receives a printed ESV Study Bible, then they're eligible for free to have lifetime access to the ESV Study Bible online. And really at this initial stage, every single thing that's in the printed Study Bible, the 200 charts, the 200 maps, the 40 illustrations, the 20,000 notes, the full ESV text, is all online, again, for free if you already own a Study Bible. And the way it's designed is that the ESV text is in the large in the center, and then the Study Bible notes are on the right-hand side. But then we've also created on the left-hand side a place for you to take and save your own notes. So if you're listening to a sermon and you know, want to transfer some of your sermon notes, say your pastor's preaching on John 3, you can then enter your own notes in there. So in a sense, you can write your own Study Bible. You find something helpful online, or you just have a devotional thought or an application thought, you can just jot that down. You know, you were talking about your wife who, you know, the experience that I have is sometimes I don't know the address of a biblical verse, but I know how to get there. You know, like you're driving along and you know how to get there, but you can't necessarily say what street number it is.
Right.
But the transfer, you know, a lot of us have different Bibles, and we might take notes and we might underline, and then a new Bible comes along. And so keeping, you know, with the online Study Bible, you can really just keep your own notes there. Hmm. We also added a feature, too, where you can highlight in five different colors and save those highlights. So in a way, it's allowing things like underlining and highlighting to be done online. So if you wanted to go through and in a passage, highlight in yellow all of the verbs. Or what I did recently is go to Philemon, and which is just a short book, but to highlight in a certain color all the family terms that Paul uses. He talks about my son and my brother and my sister and the Lord. And just then in an instant, just glancing at it, you can see, you know, or to use another color maybe in highlights every time that Jesus Christ appears in a passage. Those sorts of things, I think, can be can be a helpful tool.
Does it have a search feature to it as well? So if you're searching for a certain term or phrase, you know, you can do that. Is that worked into it?
Yes, it's a really good search engine that you can search the biblical text, and you'll be able to search all the notes as well. Just another thing I should mention, I neglected to mention, is that there's also a free audio recording of the ESV on there. So if you want, let's go back to John 3, if you want to listen to all of John 3, you can just click a button and hear a free new audio recording of that, or you could even listen to a whole book that way.
I was wondering who does the reading. It's not Max McLean, is it?
It is Max McLean, but we're also switching over to a new one. Kevin Hirth, I believe, is his name, who's a stage actor who's done a number of readings of classics like by Francis Schaeffer and has done some of John Piper's latest books. We have a new recording that'll be it'll be available for purchase from Crossway, but if you have access to the website, you can get that for free.
So you could hear it in either voice? Is that the idea?
I think it's just it's moving over to the Kevin Hirth one.
Okay.
But Max McLean, I believe, is still online.
That Max McLean, you know what they say, you can make the hairs on your neck stand up by simply reading the word Mesopotamia.
That's right.
So you can say anything and it sounds spiritual. The
read
way
the phone book and get excited.
Exactly. I've never heard the other spokesman that you talk about there, you know, Kevin Hirth, but it'd be interesting to hear his as well. So you get this ability then. Obviously, you could do cut and pasting. You say you could add the notes. You could print out these notes then and print just that section. Or you can even search the notes that you guys have added in there as well, 20,000 notes that are in there.
That's right. And you have full access to the articles. You can see the maps and those sort of things online. So, you know, if you're teaching and it would be helpful to show the people that you're teaching map of, say, Paul's missionary journey or the route of Exodus or something like that. We just hope it's going to be something that will serve people. That's really the whole idea behind the study Bible is not to make money, not to hype things, but to serve God's people. And if the Lord would be pleased to do that, we would just be overjoyed.
Well, praise the Lord. Well, you mentioned that word money there just a minute ago. So what's the typical cost are we talking about for a ESV study Bible?
Yeah, I believe it starts at about $49.99 and then goes on up with different versions. The hardcover has been the most popular. It's the hardcover with the jacket. But then you can get a True Tone version or the leather version, and those are more like $74.99. But if you go to a place like Westminster Bookstore or online or ChristianBook.com or Amazon.com, you can get it for, you know, 30% to 40% off of that price.
That's excellent. Would that be obviously then Westminster Bookstore would be the best place for people to go?
I think so. Yeah, they've been a great partner with us, and they've got all of the Bibles in stock. So if you go there, you can see, you know, what the covers look like and that sort of thing.
Well, Justin, I want to thank you very much for taking the time to be with us today to explain, you know, all that, all the parts of the ESV Study Bible. Anything that we left out or anything you want to add on the end here before we close out the program?
I think the most important thing I'd want to say is just to keep in mind that God's Word is sufficient, that there's a different type of font in the study Bible. As you look on a page, there's a line separating, you know, running through the middle of the page where the words above are in a larger single column font, and those are God's words inspired by the Lord. The words below are our best attempt to try to teach people God's Word. But just encourage people never to be confused between the two of them, that the only one of those is sufficient for our salvation. We hope that what's below the line will be used by God and will help His church and encourage people, edify people, convict people. But God's Word itself is ultimately what's going to do that, which is all-powerful and is sufficient for our salvation and for life and for breath and for everything.
Excellent final concept there. I've been saying recently, as we've been studying the book of Colossians, that the battle years ago was for the authority of God's Word. Today, really, the battle is, do we really believe that God's Word is sufficient? The sufficiency of God's Word, that it's good for everything that we face in this life. And so, well put there, Justin. Again, thank you. Justin Taylor, thank you very much for being with us on the program today. We really appreciate it.
Well, thanks, Kevin. I appreciate all that you do to help people understand God's Word and His truth.
Oh, thank you. Justin Taylor is with Crossway Books. In fact, he's the associate publisher for Crossway Books and Bibles. He's also the project director and managing editor for their study Bibles, and specifically now the ESV Study Bible. If you want more information about Crossway Books, about the ESV Study Bible, go out to crossway.com. And we'll see you again next week, right here on Knowing the Truth.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.
Life-changing teaching and talk for the Carolinas.